Monaco, Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, back live tonight until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, a live video cast of our show as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're also going to have with us, perhaps, I think Don Berman is back with us tonight because the gentleman, the station manager, Mr. Dean, I believe wants some equal time or wants to address our radio audience. It was a very confusing situation there at Channel 19 the other night with Dean coming over using the espresso machine and Don really not knowing too much about his employer, so... we're going to find out a little bit more about that. Again, our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget to get a backstage pass so that you can access the video cast as well as all of the archives, as well as the podcast, which is coming up tomorrow. We have also a brand new Phil Hendry podcast that will be... We're expecting it in a couple of weeks, but it's a major production. So, you know, we're going to make sure that all the, you know, everything is... All the bells and whistles and the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, all that stuff before we... come out with it. Trayvon Martin's killer, George Zimmerman, has raised more than $200,000 for a defense fund. And Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy is going to join us this hour to talk about that and about the social studies class that he's been at the head of there at Belmar Academy this past week, talking about this case. Good evening, Vernon.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good. And you've been talking about this case with the class, I imagine, huh?
Well, our young people have been very interested in this. Matter of fact, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I credit my class, my students, for bringing... I brought this up, but they really brought an energy and an interest in this case to the table, as it were. And so we've had a good time talking about the case, and I've had my moments that, unfortunately, with this case, you know, like any one of these kinds of socially charged situations and stories, you're gonna have your problems with differences of opinion, and again, you have them with parents. And
did you have interaction with parents on this?
I had interaction with one father, and the reason is because everybody has an opinion on this, you know.
And boy, I'll say, and everyone, you know, as I was saying to I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I was saying to Dan, I mean, everybody has an opinion, and everyone, everybody sort of picked a side, you know, and I don't really know whether the facts mean anything, you know.
Well, I can tell you in my class, the facts mean something, and so I expressed that. One of our kids, who is one of our brighter students, Karen Drumbaugh, is the student, and her father, Carl, who I've known, you know, came over to talk to me. We had a parent-teacher conference this week scheduled anyway, and I told him how I felt.
Well, what was your stand on this?
Well, when I found out about the $200,000 defense fund for George Zimmerman, I have to tell you, Phil, I'll tell your audience, I told my class, I said, can you imagine anybody, who are these people that are giving him money? That was my point to the class, that you understand that when you're doing social studies and you're doing a contemporary review of society, you have to pick it apart, and you really have to, you almost have to be a scientist in picking apart the different issues and the different ways of thinking about things. And I said to my class, I said, how stupid do you have to be to give this guy your money? Which was kind of the jumping off point. Just who are these people that are so dumb? They're taking money out of their wallet. I can understand, you know, if you want to have a rooting interest, or I don't know, but who's actually going into their wallet and being so dumb that they're giving money to this guy who pulled a gun and pumped a couple of shots into some kid's belly?
And all right, so and you had a problem with a student?
Well, I said to the class, can you even begin to imagine how stupid you have to be to give money to George Zimmerman for a defense fund Well, a couple of the kids went home with this and brought it up to their parents. And
asked their parents, what did they ask them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but in Karen's case, her father, Carl, apparently had very strong feelings about this case and had, through PayPal, donated some money to George Zimmerman. So when they came in and talked to me, he said to me, I gave money to this man Zimmerman. I heard what Karen said that you were saying in class. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm asking my class to consider how dumb, just who are the people in our country? What is going on with our country? What's who's voting? And then who is so stupid, that they reach into their wallet, pull out a crisp Jackson or a Hamilton or a Lincoln or whatever, and stick that into the virtual PayPal piggy bank? Who are the? He says, well, I'm. I said, I know that. I said, I know. I said, Karen told me. And he said, well, then he said to me, I think you have to be stupid to say what you're saying. And I said, well, okay, does that mean me? And he didn't give me a yes or a no, you know.
Well, it sounds like it does.
All right, but I wanted him to say it. And he just kind of, he gave me one of those looks that you give a guy, I said, does that mean me? When you say you got to be stupid to say stuff like that, does that mean me? And he just kind of, gave me that smile. So I said to him, well, you know what? Stupid is as stupid does. I was quoting the Forrest Gump movie. And that's when he stepped over the line, and he was leaving the room, and he looked around, and he said to me, run, Forrest, like that. Okay. Now.
Oh, so he was just making fun of the Forrest Gump movie.
No, he was not. What happened was this man, and when I said to him, stupid is as stupid does, he turned around and went, run, Forrest. So he was calling me mentally deficient, not just unintelligent or stupid, mentally deficient. Now, I never said that he was a mental deficient. I said he was, I didn't even call him anything. I said, who are the people that, how dumb do you have to be?
All right, well, you were impugning anybody that donates money to George Zimmerman.
Out what I think is a fact.
All right, but I mean, but that's what you were pointing out to your students, which you think is your opinion, that anybody that would give money to the George Zimmerman Defense Fund is stupid. And one of the people that gave money was this girl's father, this man who you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a man I know. I've never had a problem with him.
All right. So when you had this parent-teacher meeting with him, he took issue with that.
He did. Yes, he did. And then he called me stupid. What he said was, you'd have to be stupid to teach some of that stuff.
Was he talking to you specifically? Or?
But I said, three times, I said, does that mean me? Now, I'm going to tell you something, Phil. I am a teacher by profession, and I have come a long way. I have had to... Shut that door, will you? Shut that door, will you? I have come a long way, and I have taught a lot of kids, and I have put a lot of kids through. I've put a lot of kids through school, and I'll tell you, when a man comes into my classroom and he says to me, "Well, you got to be stupid to say what you said." I said to him, well, stupid is as stupid does. That's where it should end. And it didn't. He turned around.
Well, you wanted the last word.
Hold on for a minute, please. Please hold on. He wanted the last word. And he said to me, well, he said, run, Forrest. Now, that's him saying, you are mentally deficient. Now, you know what that means. That...
I got to interrupt you.
What?
What? I mean, you're getting really tense about this.
The guy, he turned around, Phil, and he said, run, Forrest.
All right, so he's mocking you.
He was more than mocking me. He said it at a parent-teacher conference in front of his wife, in front of other teachers. Okay? And I did nothing to bring that on. All I said was...
You called him stupid.
I said, if I may be allowed to finish... Anyone that gives money to George Zimmerman is an idiot. And I said it to my class. I didn't say it to him.
Well, it's her father.
Well.
Hold on. Vernon Dozier is with us. Hold on, Vernon, please. We're taking our first break of the hour as we talk with the educator, and there are others. Discussing the topic of Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, and anybody that gives money to George Zimmerman's got to be stupid is the basic viewpoint here of Vernon Dozier. $200,000 defense fund, that's what he has been able to raise through PayPal, but the website, I think, was taken down either as of today or yesterday. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on for a sec. I want to... Gosh, where are you?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Tell me about that. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, take it easy. I mean, we're talking here with... we're here with Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. He's talking about George Zimmerman, who has raised $200,000 for a defense fund. And in the story we have here, there's a couple of primary donors. Oh, no, they are anonymous. But the $200,000 that was raised is above and beyond the $150,000 bail.
Not trying to just, you know, get money back, you know, to pay back the bail. He already paid his bail, and this is for his defense fund. Now, neither you or I can get on TV or anywhere else for that matter, Phil, and say, I need money, and would you please donate to my PayPal?
Yeah, I mean, you sound angry.
I'm angry because I was taken to task by a student who then, and you know that this is an area of great sensitivity for me, when a student leaves the classroom, goes home, and starts, bye, 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 you know what I mean, yeah, you're just talking. They leave.
What students are going to do that, though, Vernon?
I know students are going to do. They're going to ask and they're going to talk to their parents because parents do want to know what's going on in the classroom. But there are opinions that are expressed. If you're going to express my opinion, you can express your opinion. You can go home to your parents and you can say, Mom, Dad, I think George Zimmerman should not have a defense. I think you'd have to be stupid to put money in George Zimmerman's defense fund. Or you could say, Mom, Dad, I like George Zimmerman's. But, yeah, this guy here, did you ever see a man by the name of Lenny Bruce?
Well, I never saw him. I've heard of him.
Okay. Lenny Bruce said one time in court, because he was on trial for saying some dirty words in his nightclub act, he said, the cop is doing my act. Let me at least do my act. And when I saw that, man, that hit me, because that's what's happening every day when I'm... When I'm standing in front of students and I am giving a lesson and I'm trying to impart to them this lesson as only I can. I'm a teacher. I'm not saying I'm the greatest teacher, but I have my signature style. And then that kid goes home and that kid says to his parents, hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Mr. Dozier today said in the classroom la 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 la, you know, just and you can hear it now. They're taking what I said and they're ruining it.
Well,
ruining it. And I'm sorry, Phil, but as a teacher, I have a signature style that's all my own. Okay? I developed it on my own. Okay? Okay?
Yes, sir. I'm following you.
Well, the problem starts when...
Kids are going to go home, though, Vernon, and talk.
I just acknowledged that to you, Mr. Henry. Are you listening to me?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, then why are you repeating yourself?
Why are you saying, what is it then about the kid that goes home and says to their parents, here's what happened in class today, what about that are you finding fault with?
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said.
You know, you need to calm down.
Oh. Okay. I said.
Yeah, I gotta stop you.
Let me finish what I'm saying, please.
I'm going to let you finish, but you sound like you're really, really wound up.
I'm going to be wound up if I can't get out the words that I'm trying to say. Now, I don't care if little Mary, Susie Q, whoever, whatever, goes home and talks to her mother and father and says to them, mater, whatever, however they say it, here's what we learned in class today. But what I don't want them to do is say, oh, and Mr. Dozier today had an opinion, and here's his opinion, and they do my act, just like they did when they did Lenny Bruce, okay?
And so in other words, there's something about the way you expressed your opinion that is uniquely the way you do it.
Yes, uniquely the way I, and when she went home and started mouthing off. And I'm going to tell you something, and there isn't a teacher out there that disagrees. If they are honest, there's not a teacher out there that disagrees with this. If they're honest. And that is a whole other discussion, okay? Because I heard you talking in your pre-show about honesty, all right? Well, let me tell you something, my friend. In my profession, we have some of the most dishonest people. And I mean, lie, they will look at you and lie. But if there's teachers out there that are honest, they'll say, Vernon, God bless you for what you're about to say. And they know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. But I say in my classroom, and then some apple of someone's eye goes home and starts, ya-da-da-da-da-da-da, you see?
And some apple of someone's eye.
Yes.
And you really sound angry.
Oh, would you? Are you listening to what I'm trying to say, though?
I'm hearing you, ma'am, but when you've got this attitude about your students, you know.
It's not an attitude. I'm trying to tell you that I don't mind them talking to their parents, but what I don't like is when they go home and squeal. You understand?
So the classroom is some place where secrets are kept? And
there are certain things that I express, okay? That when you go home and squeal it to your mama, that's what they're doing, Phil. They're going home to mommy, and they're going to say, here's what I learned in class. And they're looking for approval. Kids are like dogs, and I don't mean that bad, but they are. They're like dogs. They go home and they wait for a pat on the head and a biscuit. They go home and they go, Mama, just like a dog goes, Ar-ar-ar. You ever seen one of these dogs? It'll lick your, well, I don't know. My dog will reach up and stick his nose right at it.
Okay, I understand.
All right, but they want a biscuit or they want a cookie or whatever the hell they want. We got a bag of these milk bones, and I throw a milk bone at it, and it seems to be fine.
All right, I got to take a break. Hold on, okay?
God.
877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier with us, a teacher at Belmar Academy, obviously extremely wound up over the idea that, once again, one of his students has gone home and explained an opinion he's had to her parents, and there were repercussions. He believes that anyone that donates money to the George Zimmerman Defense Fund is stupid. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Cut me off again, yeah. This guy's always cut me off.
Phil Hendry.
I can't do anything about it. He's always cut.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, who's a social studies teacher, as well as the head football coach and a board member at Bradley Military. Excuse me, Bradley Military. That's in Altadena.
Yeah, you're, that's the other end of that's the other end of the valley, Phil. We're over in, we're closer to Burbank and Glendale.
Right, right. And you are... You know, you had a run-in with a father after he came to the school and made some joke about you being Forrest Gump. That
was uncalled for.
But you said stupid is as stupid does. Didn't you say that?
I said stupid is as stupid does because you got to understand something, Phil. This man, you know, his daughter, she's fine. She's a bright girl. This guy is an imbecile in the almost in the Roman... In the Greek, Greco-Roman sense, you gotta listen to me for a minute.
And, I'm listening to you.
All right, but because I'm very much a, this guy is an idiot in the sense of the way the monarchies of Europe would have an idiot hanging around for laughs, you know.
And what, even like a court jester?
Not even that smart. Court jesters were brilliant men. No, I'm talking about some guy that they could just throw a soup bone at and have a couple of laughs.
You mean like the way they used to treat people that were mentally deficient in the old days?
Well, what is that supposed to mean? Are you trying to get sympathy for the guy?
No, sir, I'm not trying to do that at all. You're telling me that this guy's an idiot.
An idiot? He comes into my classroom and tells me, you know, he says, what are you... I said, who told you that? He said, my daughter. I said, and at that point, I couldn't resist. I let out with a god, you know, I let out with a GD.
And boy, I don't know what the rules are in the classrooms of America, Vernon, but whatever it is going on in your class, the parents are going to ask questions. And
Phil, I love you, I know, but I don't need you to tell me that, okay? I don't need you to tell me that, okay?
I'm not trying to tell you that. I think I'm reminding you of that in because of this situation. Let's go to a phone call. Regine on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just have a quick comment, and then I'll hang up. I just think it's very interesting. I'm a parent and an educator of 30 years, and especially in the area of social studies and history, it's very interesting that this teacher promotes his opinion, which he has every right to do, but is not willing to, doesn't seem willing to present both sides of the issue. And there is so much anger and resentment towards his students and their freedom of speech. They should be able to go home and discuss anything with their parent, and he should welcome discussion to come back into his classroom. But this person is in a very dangerous place, and I hope that the school system is listening. And I just don't think this gentleman should be in the classroom.
Ma'am,
thank you.
Ma'am, this is Vernon Dozier. I teach at a private school. There's no board. When you say board,
well, the board that you're a part of.
Well, what's very disturbing is that you're not. You're a name caller, I'll just tell you, I'm a complete libertarian, conservative person, but
yes,
you
ma'am.
Are a scary person. The way you are a name caller and the venom that comes out of you towards your students, just going home and talking to the parents.
You
sound very disturbed. I do know.
You're
how
a teacher.
It is, and I think you're
okay,
very.
And you know when the kids.
Good night.
When the kids go home, see, she's hanging up. This is what I mean. A lot of these teachers are dishonest. And
well, what makes her dishonest?
She doesn't want to talk about the lies. She knows that the lies, she knows what lies are being told. She knows the kids go home and lie about her.
This man is completely disturbed. Good night.
Ma'am, do you know the kids are going home and talking about you? You know that, right? Oh, see? And listen, now she's laughing. And if there's anything in this world that makes me angry, it's when a woman has that distant laugh. Not when she laughs to your face. Not when she...
Okay, we're getting way off the subject here.
No, we're not getting off the subject. This woman, I could hear in the back, like that. That's like... Oh, man.
Let's stick to the point, okay? The point is that she made... She said you have a great deal of venom, and there's a lot of name-calling.
That's what I wanted to find out. What names did I call? What names did I call?
Well, you said the apple of their eye.
Oh, well, what is that? Come on. What's wrong with that?
And you sound like you're, like, under a lot of pressure. You know.
So, in other words, and here's the thing that is so dishonest, my mood now dictates what your opinion of me is going to be. You won't listen to what I'm saying. It's my mood. See here, oh boy, this is great. Now, listen to me. This is great. You see, it's my mood, right? Is that what you're saying?
And I'm saying your mood is cutting out your opinion, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when this guy comes to my class, this guy Carl, and he knows he can bait me, because he can go, hey, run, Forrest. And he had that look. He had that half smile waiting for me to pick something up and throw it as hard as I could against the floor. That's what he was smiling. And I remember him saying, run, Forrest. And then he leaned back and just leaned on the door jamb and folded his arms in front of him, put his leg up on the wall. And I, you know, you see what I'm saying? And he was waiting for the fun to start. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I say this as God is my witness. I am proud of myself. I didn't, you know.
You didn't throw anything at the floor.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't throw anything at the floor. I took a pointer that we use. I broke it over my knee. And I said to him, I said, Carl, if this were a pool room, and this was a cue stick that I just busted in half. God.
You sound like you need a vacation.
Would you please listen to me?
I'm listening. You sound like you need a vacation.
I said to him, Carl, if this was a pool room, and this was a cue stick that I broke in half, I said, man, I'd have me some fun now.
Well, that's insane. And I'll tell you something else.
There you go again. You're the one that's name-calling. That lady was the one that's name-calling. I haven't called anybody a name.
You started in with the apple of their eye and the this and the that. Now, listen to me. Whether anybody's going to bait you or not, they're going to want to know what's going on in the classroom. And I think one of the points that teacher wanted to make and that other people would make to you is if you're doing a social studies class, don't you present both sides.
Yes, you present. And then you give your opinion. See, that's what the thing that I, you know, that you won't listen to me, and I knew you weren't going to listen to me, Phil, when I came on the program. I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that you would take the side of these callers, and you'd be, oh, well, Vernon, I had no idea. And everything, you know, that they want to know. Because nobody wants to take a stand. Everybody wants to go running home and grab a hold of their mama. And I say that, Phil, because...
The way you say mama, it sounds like you're out of control. And it sounds to me like you have got too much invested in your own opinion and your own control in that classroom and not enough invested in teaching those kids.
Is that right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, what else? Let me learn from you. How else should I teach my class?
When the kid comes to your class and says, my father thinks this and my father thinks that, say, that's very good. You know, I'm glad your father has an opinion, and I hope you develop an opinion, and I'm going to try to give you the tools whereby you can develop that opinion.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to waste time. That's what you want me to do. You want me to stand there and waste time.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because if I'm going to stand there in class and say, you know, whatever this this girl, whatever her name is.
You said it was Karen.
Okay, good. Whatever, like it matters, you know? And I'd say to her, Karen, I'm going to help you develop your opinion, and you and I can develop an opinion, and your father can have an opinion, and that's what my job is. I'm really... And how long does that take? That's 10 minutes out of my life!
I'm going to hang the phone up now.
Why? Because my opinion doesn't conform to yours. That's the whole point, and that's what I'm trying to say. My opinion doesn't conform. All I'm trying to do, Mr. Henry, is teach a lousy, stinking social studies class in a private high school. At a high school in...
I mean, I don't know what to say.
There it is. There it is. This has been happening to me my whole life. I'll have something vital that I want to say, something that could save lives, something that could cure cancer, something that would make men's... I'll say it, because I know that we're, you know, something that could make a man's penis bigger. Okay?
And would you... Come on, man. We still have kids.
Are you trying to cut me off even from being able to say that?
There may be kids listening still.
Yeah, but don't you understand?
Are you going to start to cry?
I'm saying, even if I had information that would magically make a man's you-know-what bigger, you'd still talk about my mood, wouldn't you? I hung up on him.
No, you didn't.
What?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to my wife.
Well, you didn't hang up on me.
Yes, I spoke. But don't tell me, friend. I hung up on you.
If you hung up on me, how am I still talking to you?
What'd you do? I'm hanging up the phone. Please hang up. Please hang up.
God, bud. Why don't you just cut the board off?
I can't. I'm trying to find the switch. But I've got to reboot it.
Well, if we got to reboot it, will you listen to this guy?
Please hang up. Please, God, out of here.
Vernon. Vernon.
What?
You want to hang your phone up?
No. I think I'll just sit here all night banging it on the desk. Yes, I want to hang it up.
Well, is it it's not a cell phone, is it?
No, it's not. It's a landline.
Well, you take the receiver and you put it in that thing.
What thing? I can't find it. Wait for me, will you? My wife.
Boy, you are...
Yeah, go ahead. Knock me some more. Make fun of me some more. Go ahead. Knock my manhood down even more. Go ahead. Drive me right into the ground. Please hang up. Oh, my God.
We're going to take a break. And
yeah, you take your break, okay, while the retard here...
I mean, I have no choice. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
No, I don't.
877-876-PHIL. And we are talking here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. He is a social sciences teacher, and we're going to be talking to, people on the phone as well. Next hour, I believe we have Robert Greene, who has just returned from a vacation, part of which he spent in the Middle East. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting hour listening to what he has to say, the things that he's seen, the... Just the climate in the Middle East these days, with so much going on over there. Here is Justin. Justin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask the teacher. You know, if you act, you know, sort of, I don't know, like you're like a spastic, I guess. Isn't that going to scare people?
Yeah. See, this is... I love this. This is great. You know, it took you... How many seconds did it take you to ask that question?
It shouldn't matter. I mean, I was just... you're acting spaz.
I'm acting spaz. Let the record show, Phil. Are you... Is the host there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Are you keeping track of what he just said?
Am I keeping track of what?
He called me a spaz. See what he's doing? God. Are you... Let me ask you something, kid.
And I'm not a kid. I'm a student, okay?
Yeah, where do you go to school? Oh, please, God. Before you answer, I want to say a prayer. God, please don't.
In heaven, be at my school. I wouldn't go to your school if it was the last school. I go to L.A. Canyon High School in North L.A. County.
Is it public or private?
I'm proud to say it's public.
Oh, yeah, you're proud, huh? You're proud? So you're at a public school. Let me guess. You sound white. Are you white?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you drive your daddy's Mercedes? Oh, God.
I'll anticipate what he was going to ask, Mr. Henry.
I'll anticipate what... You see how he... Are you treating me like I'm an idiot?
Why don't you let this kid answer a question?
Oh, my God. I'm the adult? You're talking to me like this? I'm a teacher. This undermines my authority.
I'll answer the question, Mr. Henry. Sometimes I do drive my father's Mercedes. Yeah, sometimes. Okay.
Oh, I see. Is that when your own private Cadillac... God, forget it. You know, I just...
No, go ahead. Finish.
Yeah, please. Please do finish.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Please, finish.
Okay. Is that when your private Escalade is in the shop? Is that what you got?
Do I have what?
You know exactly what I'm saying, son. Your father lets you drive his Mercedes to school. When your car is in the shop, what kind of car do you have?
I've got like a 5-speed Camaro.
Oh. You know, what I love, Mr. Henry...
You know, you have not for one second spoken with any respect to this young man.
He's a kid. I'm the adult. I'm supposed to be the one who...
Mr. Henry, it's okay. I mean, it's obviously... I mean, I've run up against teachers like this before.
Oh, you have? Then I'm not alone, and that proves. Let me say something. I want to say this, okay?
Sir, you've been talking the whole hour, and all you've done is go... You've spazzed out a couple times.
You stop saying that, please? Would you stop saying that, please?
Saying what?
Are you talking about me spazzing out? Would you please not do that? Because that other guy said, oh, run for us. Now you're saying I'm spazzed. So what's going on now is it's almost like a pincer movement. On the one side is the guy calling me,
He called you Forrest Gump.
Yeah. And on the other side is you with the spazz. And now it's a pincer movement of two... You, yeah, and the other guy, yeah. Now, I'm going to say something to you. Ah, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. I had the best point that I was going to make. The best point.
You know, Mr. Henry said that you probably need a vacation, Mr. Dozier, and I was just calling up to say, you know, that probably you need that.
Really? Hey, see, let me ask you, did you polish up an apple you want to put on my desk? See, I don't fall for it. I don't fall for the I'm a concerned student and Mr. So-and-so is really having a hard time, because I'll tell you where that winds up. That winds up with a teacher taking a student to bed. Okay?
Oh, my God. Like I'm going to go to bed with you? Are you crazy?
I'm not talking gay.
Well, then what's it got to do with me?
Yeah, then why'd you even bring it up?
Because you're not allowed to have no personal, or you're not allowed to have,
Yeah, you're talking like a hillbilly? You're all jacked up.
You want to know something? My people originally are from Georgia. Does that make me a hillbilly? Well, if it does, I'm very proud of that. I'm sorry. I have been trying to say on this...
You know what? I've got to let you go.
Oh, yeah, great. God.
Mr. Henry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. I'm telling you, Vernon, it is an embarrassing situation here to listen to you. You may have a lot of really good points.
I've got a lot of good points. I mean, I've had nothing but good points. And I had good points when I talked to that guy talking about me being Forrest Gump. And I had good points when I talked to the kid. And he said, I'm a spaz. And I was in a pincer movement. And that, if you've ever studied... Well, it doesn't make any difference. What difference does it make?
Military history?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Military history? Okay.
You know, Phil, I've never had you in my classroom, and I've never pointed at you and went, ha, 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 for a full hour. But that's what you do to me. And I got to ask myself, what did I ever do to you?
And Vernon, I don't think I've ever treated you with any overt disrespect, ever. Ever, in the times I've had you on the program. Never. I think the times that you have been disrespected have either been from people who are rude, yes, but not a solid 50 minutes of it. I think you've brought a lot of it on yourself because...
Oh, okay, here, we go. You sound just like my wife. You sound like all of my ex-wives. You sound like the wife I got now. And you sound like the mother that I had. And let me just say...
No, I haven't finished what I'm going to say, okay? Sometimes you bring it on yourself. And being somebody who has a bad temper, I know how it feels. When you do bring it on yourself and you do lose your temper, people are going to make it about your temper. They're not going to listen to the points that you have to make.
Well, let me say this. Did you have a mother that kissed you on the lips? Yes or no?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, I did. Kissed me full on the mouth. And I've told you that there were two incidences that I do remember where she slipped tongue in and...
You got some issues, okay?
You got some issues, okay? God.
Well, okay, you can mock me and make fun of me, but you have issues. Go see a psychiatrist. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
There, how'd that sound? That's exactly how you sounded.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, even places other talk shows, well, wish they could, but they can't. We're here tonight with you, and we're certainly online as well at philhenryshow.com. You know how to use the old internet. It's no big thing. Just go over there and go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show right now, which is on the old video cast. We do Phil TV. It's an HD picture, high-definition picture, and I think you're going to love it. And like that. And we've got thousands of hours of archived radio shows, have a podcast of our daily radio show that you can listen to tomorrow. We also have the first hour of the show free. It streams free the next day, every day as well. And coming up, we will have another podcast in a couple weeks that we will tell you more about. Okay. Robert Greene is with us tonight. And I think, Bob, you're probably not working. I think you are having a late dinner.
I am, Phil. We are right now. We're in Newport Beach. This used to be a place called, I don't know if you remember, there was a bar in Newport Beach called Hoagie Bar Michaels. Did you ever hear that?
I think I heard it was a dance place.
It was, and a friend of mine bought it, and it's turned into a steakhouse. It's very good. What's
the name of it?
It's called Rancho's. Rancho's, and it's on Pacific Coast Highway. So we're having a little bit of dinner here tonight.
And you had about 2-3 weeks in the Middle East.
That is correct.
And then you got up into Europe.
We were in Egypt. We visited Israel. We visited Egypt. We were in Morocco. We were in Saudi Arabia very briefly because I have a former business partner of mine is working there now. And then we were in Spain, and we were in Italy. And we wound up in France, in Paris, and then we came home yesterday.
Boy, that's a trip, huh?
It was. We packed a lot in there, but I can tell you that we learned a lot. I was grateful for the experience because I think I think it's an old saying, but it's very true. The old thing they used to say that travel will broaden you, and it does. It teaches you.
Well, you see how the rest of the world's doing, you know?
If nothing else, you're looking at how other people live. For me, and maybe it's true of a lot of people, I gain a new appreciation for my own country, United States, America. It's great to come home, but we saw a lot of interesting things. We've met a lot of nice people, really friendly people.
How'd you like Paris?
I like Paris a lot. I know you came back with mixed feelings.
It's the kind of a city that's going to give you mixed feelings, you know. But you got along well, huh?
I do, and I got along pretty well. It's probably because Barbara, the lady that I'm seeing, speaks a little bit of French,
That's going to help over there, yeah.
Yeah, we got around, I should say, a little bit easier maybe than the average person. But Egypt was fascinating, I had an argument with Barbara about this, and in fact, it was more than just an argument. We had a serious disagreement. But I felt very strongly, and had even talked to my aunt, who is very, you know, my aunt Evelyn, who's in her 80s, and I asked her what she thought of it because. I guess I need to tell you what it is, right?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's the law in Egypt. It was on the front page of the paper.
All right, okay, this is a law, and let me tell people, I see what you're talking about, Bob. This is a law that is being opposed by women's groups.
That is correct, yes.
It is a draft Egyptian law. Now, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, that would allow a husband to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death, and this is a law that they're considering.
They are, absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with what they call, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but is it Sharia law?
Well, that's what the Muslim strict Islamic law.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that is the case here, although it has, it's a obviously an extremely sexist, and that's putting it mildly, law.
Well, here is, here's a viewpoint on this. This is obviously, it's a, from our standards, it's barbaric. I know, Phil, that I am like a lot of people. I have a tendency to say what I'm thinking before I think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And, I see something like this, and I want to just tell people how barbaric they are. But I do believe you've got to put yourself in people's shoes. There's got to be a reason, and I look at my own life, and I look at, the relationship I have now with Barbara, which is a good one. I was married twice. I've got a couple of kids, and obviously I have had a difficult time with the female of the species.
Probably no more than most of us.
Well, I hope so. Women, to get along with women, I think you need to give them their life. I think it's the one thing our fathers probably didn't understand, or other generations have been. You have to give a woman her life. You have to give a woman her place in this world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it does go against, in a lot of ways, the instinct of a man to want to sort of plant his feet on the earth, put his hands on his hips, and say, this belongs to me.
There's a social history to men and a social history to women that we're having to rewrite those roles a little bit. Men are always going to be men because we know now that this is a biochemical and a...
physiognomy of the brain is different.
Yes, exactly.
And so I look at this law that they want to pass in Egypt that allows you to have sex with the corpse of your wife for 6 hours. And I asked myself, what could people be thinking? In our society, that is considered sick. In our society, but in Egypt, they're considering that. I know the National Organization of Women is opposing it, but those are women that they're either American or they've traveled to America or they're European. They're not Egyptian women. Egyptian women.
There's some Egyptian women involved in this.
Well, like I say, maybe they traveled to Europe or they've been hanging around American women, and that's always going to be, for some societies, a problem. Because the minute you let your woman get around an American woman, you're going to have, in the mind of the people, the men that run that country, you're going to have a problem.
The minute you let your woman, so the American women are crap disturbers.
Well, yeah. If you let an Egyptian, if you get one of these Egyptian women that is she's not... where do they come from? They're off a farm or whatever is a farm there, and they talk to an American woman, and now all of a sudden she knows it all too. Now,
the point, we're talking about a law here that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death, and you have to ask yourself the question, if we want to be kind and not just say these are a bunch of backward men, what do you say?
Well, I think what you say is that these are men who are reacting to the increasingly powerful role of women, and they're trying to take 6 hours where they're not going to get, I guess if you want to be honest, it's 6 hours that a man can be with his wife and still be, you know, a man.
I don't understand that.
Well, in other words, she's not going to be there telling you what to do and telling you where to put the money and telling you how to spend the money and telling you what to do with the kids. And you see what I'm saying? And the things that gradually sort of shrink a man down to size. Now, with this law that says, you know, you're allowed to have sex with the body of your dead wife for 6 hours up after she dies, correct?
Yeah.
You can at least have 6 hours where you're able to, you know, I'm trying to say this so it doesn't sound bad.
Well, I mean, it's going to sound bad no matter what, you know?
No, I understand that.
I mean, it, you know, no matter what you say, sex with a corpse...
You know, I understand that, but what I'm asking you to do is not to put it that way, because we're trying to see it from the standpoint of the Egyptians, where for 6 precious hours, a man can say to the woman, you know, just, here, you know, I got something for you to take, I want you to take it, you know, I don't know how to put it.
Well, that sounds, I don't know if that's the best way.
What do you mean?
Well, I got something for you to take.
I'm saying it's 6 hours where a man doesn't have to listen to her finding fault. And to that end, you almost understand it. Having sex with a corpse, no, of course not. I don't understand it. But if, I don't know, if this gives the men of Egypt 6 hours where they can have something that American men don't have...
Well, you're talking about, I mean, you know, you're. I don't know that it is so bad, women, you know, expressing themselves, that a man needs to be able to have sex with her corpse just so he's not having...
I don't know what's funny about it. See, what I'm saying is we've got a generation of men who have been emasculated and need to be able to find a way to express their power as men... with their women and not have the woman pointing out everything that's wrong.
So you have sex with her corpse?
No, I didn't say that. I said that's what they're doing in Egypt. And from the standpoint of, oh, I understand why they're doing it, you do. You understand.
Okay, we'll take a break with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, just back from an overseas trip he took with his lady friend. And one of the stops was in Egypt, where they are debating a law, if you're ready for this. They're debating a law where it would be legal for a man to have sex with his wife's corpse for up to 6 hours after her death. Bob Green and I are talking about that, and it is his opinion that it is a perverted attempt at giving men a little bit of power that they ordinarily wouldn't have in their marriage because she's dead. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. That was my point, essentially, but I would
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, hold on. We'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green is joining us this evening. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods and has been a frequent contributor on our show. Well, we talk about business. We talk about employment issues. But having just returned from a trip to the Middle East, among other places, we were talking about this law that is being currently debated in Egypt that would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, Phil, is, you know, I think what you said there is during the break, I mean...
Let me tell people what I said.
I think it was a little bit racist.
Let me tell people what I said. I said that the Moors, the Moorish people, that is the Muslim, the medieval Muslim people, when they were defeated by the, if you will, European Christians, and forced back over the Pyrenees and back into Spain and eventually back to North Africa, I think it there was something about that experience that warped them or pissed them off or something.
See, that's what I find racist.
Why? Hold on for a minute. Don't answer this. Why would you find that racist, you know, if I'm talking about a culture that seriously considers allowing a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours?
Well, Phil, I don't think that the law, it hasn't been passed yet.
No, I understand that, but they're debating it.
Well, what is to stop, as crazy as it sounds, what's to stop someone introducing a law like that in the United States?
No one. The point is no one has, Bob. That's the point. The point is that...
You realize that we have just now made necrophilia illegal in some states. It was not even illegal in the state of Florida until 1994.
Well, it's not something that you're automatically going to be thinking about if it isn't a problem. You know, I mean, you're not going to go, hey, by the way, let's pass a law against having sex with a dead person because it might happen. You generally prescribe something when it has happened and you don't want it to happen anymore.
Well, I think that there is a bit of a America chauvinistic point of view there from you. When I say, when you say, well, what's wrong with a society? I mean, something messed up their minds because the Christians beat them. I think that there's a little bit of a, you know, racist.
Well, I don't see the racism there at all. I mean, you can call me, if you want, a chauvinist, all right. You can call me a maybe even a bigot.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, when you say racist, you're talking about a whole other thing.
What I'm saying is it's racist against their lawmaking and that kind of thing.
Well, there's no such thing as racist against their law. Let's just put it that you're saying that I'm sort of down on their culture?
I think you're looking down on the Egyptians. And let's remember something, that they created the pyramids, they created the Sphinx, they had one of the most ancient civilizations.
I'm not denying any of that.
All right, and if they're considering a law that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours, there's a different way of looking at it. There's the way that you're looking at it, and then there's the way that I'm looking at it, which is the following thing. What is it about that that may be progressive?
What is it about having sex with the corpse of your wife that's progressive?
What is there something there?
No, you use the word progressive?
Wait, hold on. Is there something there that we're missing? Is there something there? And when I thought about it and I talked over with Barbara, we had a big fight.
Well, I can understand.
Well, what do you mean you can understand? She was not right. She was wrong. I proved to her that I was right by the fact that she walked out of the house. Because what happened was this. When we got into this argument, we got into the argument on the plane coming back, because I started talking about it almost as soon as we left Cairo. I said, what if this allows a man the freedom to be a man for 6 precious hours out of his life? And she went into the whole song and dance about how could you, and that's disgusting. And I said, you still haven't answered the question. And I even challenged her to an experiment. I said, is it really going to hurt you if you and I had sex, if you would just lay there, like, well, you know.
You're not going to say what I think you're going to say.
Well, you've just made it worse by saying, you're not just going to say what I think. I didn't say anything, did I?
You said, would it make it, did you ask her to lay there like a corpse while you made love to her?
I said to her, in order to prove your point or my point, why don't you lay there like you're dead, and I'll show you what I mean when I say men can just express themselves, okay? And she was even willing to do that.
She was?
Yeah. And I said, you're going to lay there like you're dead? And she said, yes. So I said, well, you have to, the body temperature has to be lowered. So I brought ice in, and that's when she got angry and got up and left. And called me all kinds of names. So,
well, look, what you just described to me sounds like it was completely, like, unnecessary and sort of weird.
What is that? You know, when you talk like you're a teenage girl, I lose you, Phil.
And how did I talk like a teenage girl?
It's sort of weird. You know, that's the way my daughter used to roll her eyes, and she, boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing that used to get me more than when my daughter would roll her eyes and go, she'd make that clicking sound with her tongue, and then do the curled lip routine. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
No, I don't.
You've never seen the curled lip routine. When my daughter would go, and then, like that, man, nothing made me want to ball up a fist and just drive it right through her face. I didn't do it.
And you know, Bob, can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever said to you that you may have, like, female issues?
No, Phil, it's not going to be that easy tonight for you, okay?
No, I'm asking because you talk about your daughter balling up a fist and wanting to drive it right through her skull. You're talking about your girlfriend, you know, laying there like she's dead. You wanted to cool her skin temperature down.
Don't even start with any kind of talk like, because you watch that Investigation Discovery. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that that's what, are you going to say some freak? I said to her, in order to test the Egyptian theory, is that the music again? Because I swear to God.
Hold on, man. God. Robert Greene, the law being proposed in Egypt is you can make love, you can have sex with, make love, you can have sex with the corpse of your wife up for 6 hours after she died. Mr. Greene is trying to figure out, well, what about that is a good idea? He tried to get his girlfriend to lay there as if she were dead. It wasn't good enough. He tried to cool her body temperature down with ice, and she got up and left. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much for leaving the audience.
Phil, on the line with me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods and the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's just returned from a nice vacation, Bob. It sounds like you went a lot of places and did a lot of things. I'm sorry you came back, a little argument there with your girlfriend. But we are talking about this Egyptian law that's being debated. It hasn't been passed yet, and it's getting quite a bit of... To be fair, Egyptian society is a bit mortified by it.
Phil, you say Egyptian society, there's a lot of people that are in support of it. Yes, there are women's groups that are against it, but most of those women's groups are, as I said, heavily influenced by American or European women. And it's fascinating what happens to a country when an American or a European woman inserts herself into the debate. And I'm not saying that's bad, but I would like to see the Egyptian people, I would like to see them work this out among themselves without influence or interference from other culture or other societies, because it is very weird.
With this law where you have sex with your wife, what is the justification for this in Egyptian society? I know what your take is.
I think it is rooted in some Islamic law or Islamic belief that there is something acceptable about this sort of carnal relation with your wife, who may be physically dead, but in spirit may still be. There is something about expressing your affection.
But in your scenario, your belief is it may be healthy because it allows a man to be a man.
It allows a man to be a man without having to... I'm putting it in very Western terms, so you have to be very, you know, please forgive me. It allows a man to be a man without having to listen... without having to listen to it. You know what I mean by it. The noise, the constant... I heard the gentleman you had on before me, Mr. Dozier, he used the term ba-ba, ba-ba, you know, with the, I'm sure he was moving his hands up and down like a mouth. Mr. Henry, was he doing that?
I don't know. I was on the phone. I don't know.
All right. We don't have to get upset.
I'm not upset. I don't know if he was going ba-ba-ba with the hands. But I know what you're saying, and he might have been.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
So this is your justification. This is, it's almost as if the Egyptian version is more, it's civilized.
What does that mean? Wow. Wow. I'm a white man. And
what has that got to do with anything? You're white.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say is I'm an American. I'm an American. I didn't mean to say I'm white. And
okay, well, Bob, the more you talk, you called me racist.
No, I said your attitude was racist, saying that the Moors got upset because the Christians beat them and they had to go back to their sandbox or something.
I never used the term sandbox. I just said that. I'm telling you, man.
Well, see, you're laughing.
Yeah. I just the way that you put stuff. I mean, I never said sandbox. I said that the Moors somehow, the defeat at the hands of the French king there at Tours, where I think I've got my history right, maybe I don't, turning back the Moorish army, I think was a historic in that it has reverberated for hundreds of years. And
the defeat of the caliphate, the Ottoman Turkish Empire, probably has more to do with it, don't you think?
No, well, no. I mean, maybe in the mind of Osama bin Laden, but he's not around anymore. All right, let me get to a phone call here. We're talking to Robert Green from Fraser Foods on this law that says Egyptian men, it's not been passed yet, Egyptian men could have sex with their wives for up to 6 hours after their wife dies. And Bob thinks that that's... it might be good in that it allows a man not to have to listen to a woman talk.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you mean.
All right.
What else do you mean by ba-ba-ba-ba-ba with the mouth? Margaret, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, how's it going?
Bill, I am listening to your guest here, Mr. Green, who I've heard on the program before. Bob, how are you?
I'm fine.
You know, I find how crude, how vulgar, how absolutely unacceptable, how vile you are. I find it almost admirable. I really do.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
Well, here's what you can say to that. You can say, thank you, Mrs. Gray, for at least pointing out how magnificent a freak I am. If you remember,
well, ma'am, I'm not going to take an insult like that. You know,
do you remember the old Saturday Night Live when Dan Aykroyd used to say to Jane Curtin, Phil, do you remember? Jane, you magnificent slut.
I do remember that, yeah.
I remember. All right. That's the kind of compliment. I'm saying, Bob, you magnificent ass, you magnificent cretin, that you would say the things you've said,
ma'am, I am telling you that I just returned from Egypt.
Well, that's good for you. You've returned from Egypt. I was in Egypt. Thank you very much.
Well, no, Margaret, you weren't in Egypt. You were, I believe, at a hotel in Rome. Isn't that true?
I was covering the Egyptian riots, Phil. All right.
Where, from a hotel in Rome?
No, I was in Egypt. I had my laptop. You know, this is way off the point.
Well, you claim to have been in Egypt, and I'm just saying that you weren't really.
You know, I think I remember listening to your reports. You're the woman that does these reports from all these war zones, only you're actually having breakfast at a Ritz-Carlton in Rome, right?
You know, both of you men, really.
Please don't include me in this. I've tried to be respectful.
No, but I do include you, Phil. I blame you for having this man on. To have sex with a dead body is...
Margaret, you were on my show not too long ago.
No. Don't even, Margaret, don't tell me. If you're going to bring up Salt Lake City, and...
Well, ma'am, I don't know what... I think I remember the show where you were talking about your Greek boyfriend.
That was a Greek boyfriend who... you know, this is really none of your business. Okay?
Yeah, but it was very weird. And,
no, it was love. It's called love. And
you said that it was very exciting, a man making love to you while he was eating a sandwich. Didn't you say that?
You know, Phil, there was only one Mike Wallace, and you ain't it.
Well, ma'am, I did hear you say that. Did you say the man made love to you, and it was only at the last moment you noticed that it was cucumber sauce
Where do you get your you-know-what's big enough? First of all, Mr. Green, I've seen you. You're all 5'6" or whatever.
That's true, man. But did you not say that at first you thought it was cucumber sauce?
You did say that, Margaret. You said that you were happy that you weren't going to be pregnant.
Both of you, Ben, are as disgusted. You know, let me get my husband. Oh, here we go. She's getting the husband now, huh?
Well, you know what, Bob? Maybe we ought to just back off of this line of questioning.
Frank Bray here.
Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
Hey, young man, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Frank?
Phil, I'm better than Custer.
I've got Bob Green here. And Margaret got upset with us because we were talking about Egyptians, the Egyptian law that may make it legal for a man to have sex with his dead wife.
Oh, I heard about that. So in Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. So she can have sex with him for 6 hours. Yeah, I heard about that.
What do you mean about him or her?
Okay, he has gender confusion.
Gender confusion? What have you got me into here, Henry? I have told you and I've told...
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? Go ahead, Frank.
Well, that's all I know about it. I know that after the woman, the wife dies, then the husband can have sex with him for 6 hours. And I think it has something to do with the religion that they practice, some bula bula hooba booba, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you, boy, how you guys get away with that kind of stuff is anybody's guess.
Away with what?
Booba, booba, and moola, moola.
You know, we contribute to a lot of very liberal causes. I don't know what to tell you. Who is this midget? And
Hey.
All right, hold on. All right. Thank you very much, Frank.
Telling me my business, you little...
Where does that guy get off calling me that? You know, I came on your program, Mr. Henry, to talk about something cultural, all right? And I told you that I would explain it the best way I knew how. Now, I had a young lady who I was dating, and I told you, yes... she wanted to see the store. I took her down to Fraser Foods. And, hold on for a minute. She took Barbara's back. I took her to Fraser. Now I got to tell the story in front of Barbara. This is an ex-girlfriend. I'm not seeing her anymore. It's an ex-girlfriend. Oh, God.
Hold on. Margaret, are you there?
I am, Phil. I can't wait to hear this story. I'm going to say this, and I'll let it go at that. First of all, Mr. Green... You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you know, making love to your girlfriend, asking her to lay there really still, and then cooling her down with ice cubes. Barbara's back here. I want to just say this. I had sex with a girl in the meat freezer at the store. Why? Why? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because it had shut her up. See, this is what I mean. I've never heard anything... Barbara's back. Let me talk. Can I talk to Barbara? Barbara, this is Margaret Gray. If you're the girlfriend of this man... Geez, I'm not going to let her talk to you. You're not going to let her talk to me. Are you listening to this?
Okay, if he doesn't want her to talk to you, he's not going to let her talk to you. I think the sides have been all very well articulated here. You know, we do have Debbie Daly, who is standing by. We're going to have her after the break.
Would you please give her my best? I love her. She's a wonderful girl. What was that? Never mind. You know, I wanted to just ask. Is she... Yes, she's still room temperature. God. I didn't ask that at all. I wanted to know if she's the one that does the morning show on public radio.
Yes, she does. She's going to be here in just a minute. Hang on. Wow. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss with Margaret Gray, Robert Green, Frank Gray, and Debbie Daly will be coming up in a moment. She hosts Daly's Daily every day on public radio. As we discuss the Egyptian law that would make it legal for a man, it's called the Farewell Intercourse Law, by the way. I just found that out, which I guess could be interpreted as farewell intercourse. That allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You really are a pig. You know that? Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray and Robert Green and Debbie Daly will be with us. You wanted to, Margaret, clarify something.
I want to clarify something without a lot of this childish talk, because I am very offended. And please, Mr. Green, allow me to finish. You made mention, both of you, to a man that I met at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, okay, in 2002.
Yeah.
All right. The cucumber sauce, the green sauce.
You said you thought it was cucumber.
Would you, can I finish, please?
Right.
When I was in Dublin, and I told you, Phil, I was doing that series of reports on the tech economy of Ireland.
Right.
And that's when I met Kieran. And Kieran, this is you know, when Frank and I were separated briefly. And Kieran and I made love. All right.
And you're a happily married woman, huh?
Would you ask this gentleman to shut his mouth, please?
All right, Bob.
He was the one that had been eating the cucumber sandwich. And when I saw the cucumber sauce, I thought, for a moment, and I don't think it's that unusual, my God, he's a leprechaun, because I thought it was his, I guess, bodily fluid. Oh, God. What do you mean, oh, God?
That makes me want to vomit. Just how stupid are you?
And Margaret, you got to be kidding.
Oh, will you listen to the two of you? What do you mean you got to be kidding?
You thought he was a leprechaun.
Well, I thought there was... it was green, okay?
It was cucumber sauce. Didn't you know the guy was eating a cucumber sandwich?
First of all, Phil, you don't have to eat a cucumber sandwich. It can be a hero. It can be lamb. A ground lamb. Yes. Do you eat them? No, I don't. And now I'll never eat one as long as I live, because I'll be thinking of your boyfriend and his green cucumber sauce. Good night.
I didn't hang up the phone.
Well, then why don't you hang it up, Frank?
Butch.
Wow. All right.
Well, you see, I got to tell you something, Phil. That proves right there what I'm saying. They never... A lot of women just never shut up.
All right, Debbie Daly joining us from Public Radio's Daily's Daily. And she's on the line right now in New York. And, Debbie, it's good to have you on the line with us. We're very, very grateful for you to join us. You've been listening to this discussion about this law that says it would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours in Egypt. What say you? Oh, by the way, I got to explain something, okay? I know you're not fair. I have to explain to people that you are hearing impaired.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell's wrong with her. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on. She's hearing impaired, ladies and gentlemen. She is the only hearing impaired individual with a talk show on public radio.
Well, yeah, no wonder. I mean, the only place she'd get hired.
She says, do you want to throw down?
Oh, yeah, sure. Throw down? I don't know.
She says she's getting angry at the things you're saying, talking about a man making love to a corpse. Now, let me just finish here, Debbie. So, Debbie Daly, this is Robert Green from Fraser Foods, and all right, go ahead.
I got to tell you something, and I mean this in all sincerity.
All right, hold on. She said that when she turned on the show to listen to what was being talked about tonight before she came on, she couldn't believe her ears that the two of us are discussing the viability of a law that would allow a man to have sex with a dead body. And she said that then when she heard you talking your girlfriend into cooling down her skin, it reminded her of some serial killers that she's read about. And then she just said, would you please shut up? I haven't finished talking.
Yeah, okay. Wow. I mean, this is the first time I've ever been on an English language show. And, you know, when you go on a show where they speak English, there's a comfort level that you feel. I feel it. I feel, thank God. At least I'm going to be on a show
where they're speaking English. They're all speaking English. And I'm in America, and it's English. Because, Phil, I was in countries for the last 3 weeks. You've never seen anything like it. It was every kind of pig Latin, I should say. You know,
you're talking about someone's mother tongue. Pig Latin is not exactly the word to come up with. She said, why should she be surprised the way you're talking?
And what language are you speaking?
You really think you know everything, but you don't know everything.
No, I asked you, what language you speak? Are you speaking dumb? Is that what it, dumb?
You don't, they haven't used the word dumb in years. She is hearing impaired.
No, I didn't mean dumb that way. I meant dumb, as in stupid. Are you speaking stupid?
She said, if you saw me, you'd be petrified.
No doubt.
What an ass.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Oh, I can't say that. She, okay, she just,
Yeah, she hung up. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Because what do you mean, what am I doing? She came on the show.
Yes, a woman that can't even be understood. I mean, and then another woman that believes she had sex with a leprechaun. I gotta laugh at that, Phil. I'm sorry. Sex with a leprechaun. You know?
I don't know. I heard the story. I thought it was a Greek guy. I don't know. Okay? All I know is that when you begin to justify a law or a proposed law about having sex with a dead body, you're going to get a lot of people calling up with very angry opinions.
Well, you know, I wasn't saying anybody was an idiot. I wasn't calling anybody any names. I was trying to justify it. And I got two women, one of whom I shouldn't say this, but that woman, that Daly, she sounds like she had a lot of you-know-whats in her mouth. And I got to...
Thank you very much, Bob. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you cut me? Don't hit me up.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Really? Phil Hendry.
Well, where the hell is she, man? Dr. Dahlia, where are you? Dr. Dahlia is on, she's on KDON in Las Vegas, and she's also on Sirius XM, I think, but I follow her on Twitter, at least I did.
You unfollow a whole bunch of people.
I didn't unfollow a whole bunch of people, I just unfollowed a couple of people. I didn't unfollow, what do you mean a whole bunch of people? I only follow 120 people anyway.
That's just it, man, you unfollow like two people, it's like a lot.
Oh, get out of here. So where is she, man? Because you're telling me I unfollowed Dr. Dahlia? There's no way. There's no way in hell. Follow her. Follow that woman. Follow that. Now, here she is. I didn't unfollow her. I found her, man. She's the one that turned me on to that story. And then Bob Green started talking about it. You know.
Did I talk about that having sex with a lady?
Having sex with a dead lady? I couldn't believe it, man. She was... She actually sent that to me. She said, this is, you know how people are with me. They say, here's one, here's fodder for the mill. And I say that with all, all due respect and kindness. Dr. Dye is a good gal, good, nice lady, good doc. When I had pneumonia, you know, she's a doctor and she's funny and she's on the radio, but she's a doctor. And so when I had pneumonia and I was sick, God, was I sick. It was back... In the winter of 2009, and I think I messaged her or something on Facebook. I said, I'm this and I'm that and I'm a whole bunch of other stuff, man. What do you think? She's, and of course, being a doctor, she said the stuff that doctors say. Go to the doctor, have this test, that test, this test, that test, this test, that test. And
yeah, none of the stuff she wanted you to test is going to find out anything.
Well, she didn't think I had pneumonia. She thought what I had was a really bad flu, and she was right. I did. I had swine flu that turned into pneumonia. So I was a sick son of a gun early in the week. The big mistake I made is when I waited. I didn't go to the doctor right away, and I wound up getting pneumonia. But she was the one that said, get over to the doctor now, and I didn't. I screwed around, and that was the end of that. Anyway, welcome back here to the News and Information Hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. News and Information Hour is when I'm joined generally by my very deep personal friends, Bud Dickman. Bud?
How are you doing today, Mr. Hendry? Pretty good show so far.
Thank you, Bud. God.
You talk much, man, because it stuttered that one out.
I know how to say this. Kiss it.
Yeah, kiss what?
This.
Why, you lousy...
Hey! Come on, man. Kiss it. Kiss what? This. You knew you were going to get angry at that, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know I'm on the air, so why don't you guys just cool it? All right, and Robert Leonard was the guy that almost kicked Bud's ass there.
Yeah, sure. Today, you're going to kick my ass.
Okay, you want to see the...
Hey! Break it up. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Do you guys honestly think that the day won't come that I fire both of you? Do you really think that day's not going to come? Huh?
I don't know.
Bud? Because the day will come. The day will come that I'll fire you. And if I got to do it on the air, I'll do it on the air. Because if you guys are going to get into fist fights on the air, then I'll fire your ass on the air. But I got the feeling that you guys think, you know, that I'm not up to the task.
No, I think you are.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
I'm that much of a jackass in your eyes, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I mean, he didn't mean that. He meant, you know.
Never mind. All right, here is a interesting story. A Newcastle man, and when I say Newcastle, I don't really know. Oh, it's Hofstra University, so I guess this is Long Island, somewhere out there in Long Island in the fine, idyllic corridors of Long Island. Near the city of New York, a Newcastle man with no formal training allegedly performed dentistry for more than 100 people in an extremely unsanitary office inside his home for more than a year, according to investigators. Manuel Carranza pled not guilty Thursday at Nassau County Court to charges of unauthorized practice of a crime. Unauthorized practice of a crime. What does that mean?
Well, he was practicing a crime.
He was practicing a crime, or was he practicing dentistry without a license? What was he? Unauthorized practice of a crime. Possession of a forged instrument. That's heavy. Possession of a forged instrument.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be a dentist, you got to have real dentist. You got to like have a real dentist tool.
Yeah, well, what?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, what does that say? It says forged, like a forged instrument, right?
Yeah, forged, possession of a forged instrument. Are you trying to tell me that instruments can be counterfeited in much the same manner as money? Is that where we are now?
Yeah, probably. If you're going to be a dentist, they'll only give out official dentist, like the official dentist tools.
Official dentist tools? And if you forge one, if you make out a dentist tool that ain't a dentist tool, wow. I guess if you're going to be a dentist, you have to have the right instruments. Who goes in and checks those guys anyway? Does anybody?
They probably got I don't know.
Like the American Dental Association, there's the guys that test out toothpaste.
They don't go into offices and check out and see whether your stuff's... What do you mean toothpaste? The American Dental Association, who knows if they even do toothpaste?
They do, man. Ain't you ever seen that Crest commercial, American Dental Association? That's what they do.
Well, just because they say that doesn't mean that it's true. You guys believe everything, huh?
No, they're not going to say that they do it and then they'd be a liar.
Well, Whatever. I've always questioned that whole American Dental Association bullcrap about Crest toothpaste anyway. Not that I don't... I mean, we use Crest toothpaste here at the Hendry home. But, you know why we use Crest toothpaste? Because that's what I've been using since I was a kid.
Yeah, your mom probably bought into all that stuff.
She did. My mother bought into the whole ADA thing. American Dental Association.
But about that one commercial you said, see mama con gleam.
See, Mama. Oh, yeah. That was Gleam commercial. Gleam toothpaste. Do they still have Gleam tooth? I don't know. But there was a commercial for Gleam toothpaste. I don't know why, man, but they were doing it was a Spanish commercial. There's nothing wrong with that, but you rarely see Spanish commercials that are targeting an Anglo audience. But I think it was more culturally Spanish. It was one of these deals where Gleam toothpaste is used the world over, you know, and so they showed an American kid brushing his teeth, and
yeah, then they showed something unusual, a Mexican kid brushing his. And then
why don't you shut up, man? Hey! What is it with you, bud?
Just making a joke.
Why don't they go to your house and show you brushing with Gleam, man? That'll be a miracle. So anyway, they show the kid, and the mother says to the kid in Spanish, "Did you brush your teeth?" And he says, "Sí, mamá, con Gleam."
What's that mean?
Well, three guesses, man. What do you think it means?
What do you think it means?
I don't know. I don't speak Spanish.
Yes, Mom, with Gleam.
Well...
What do you mean, well?
Well, he technically said mama, but yeah, I see.
Oh, boy, you're beautiful, man. One minute you don't speak Spanish, and the next minute you're telling me how it is, huh?
You don't speak Spanish.
No, I don't, but that ain't really hard. I speak restaurant Spanish, okay?
Restaurant Spanish? They're going to make you brush your teeth at a restaurant.
You know what I'm talking about. Fake, phony baloney Spanish. The crap that gets you, the stuff that gets you chips and salsa and you can order your meal. That's how much Spanish I speak. In any event, that was Sí, Mamá, con Gleam, okay? So that was, but then my mother bought Crest because the American Dental Association says the stuff is all that and a bag of chips. I don't know, whatever that said. So that's why we've had Crest at our house all these years. Now, this poor bastard in Long Island, and they're showing a mugshot of this guy. He looks like the most unhappy guy on earth.
Well, he can't be all that happy.
Probably making a lot of money.
Yeah, he probably made a tidy bundle. This guy was practicing dentistry, and he wasn't a dentist. That's beautiful. Manuel Carranza, he pled not guilty. Not guilty. Boy, the guts on this guy. At the Nassau County Court, in charges of unauthorized practice of a crime, possession of a forged instrument, possession of a dangerous weapon, which was probably, you know, the drill, and criminal diversion of a prescription. God, these are some whack laws, man. A judge set his bail at $2,500. That's not very high either. I mean, it's one of those crimes. It's very interesting because it's one of those crimes that I can't really get too upset with, although I'm sure you could kill somebody with bad dentistry, you know.
Well, yeah, if you got to drill a hole in your head.
No, man, you could hurt somebody. They get an infection.
Somebody could die from bad dentistry, bud. Don't worry about it, man. You get an infection that goes down into the root. You know, people have died from not taking care of a toothache. People have died from that. You know that?
Uh-uh.
I mean, if you get an abscess and it hits the bloodstream and it hits your heart, you're in trouble. And we worked with a guy down in Miami. I'll never forget. I forget the gentleman. Well, I think I remember his name, but I won't mention. I think he had a badly abscessed tooth that put him in the hospital. Put him in the hospital. All right, we'll be right back with more of this folderol here on Manuel. We also have Don Berman and the mysterious Mr. Dean from Channel 19 coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Dean wants some equal time. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And you know that if you have a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show. And we've got our video cast on right now. That's camera number one for those of you that are watching. Hey, what happened to the show logo, man?
No, you took it down, man. Remember?
Oh, we took it down? We got to put our show logo back up. The show logo is not where it is supposed to be. Why was that taken down?
Because that guy, yeah, the people was in the studio.
The people was in this. Oh, you know, we had, yes, you're right. We had some maintenance going on here. And I was afraid, and I'm still afraid because now that camera looks crooked. In any event, I was afraid that it would get knocked over and somebody was going to get badly hurt. But did you set that camera up?
Yeah.
It's freaking crooked, man.
Yeah, man, it's like tilting to the left.
Oh. Hold on, I'll do it. Pardon me, folks. Pardon me, I'm still here. Hello. Oh, shoot. Wait. Going the wrong way now. I'm still here. Hold on. I am, God, this is very troubling. What I'm trying to do is just fix a camera that's just not... Oh, that's all jacked up, Dad. Get off that camera angle there, bud. I don't like that, man. We'll just have to go back to camera two. In any event...
Yeah, you made it worse than what it was.
Really? I can't hear you, bud. Say it again, okay?
You made it... Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, getting back to this nut, I mean, this guy, I mean, whatever he is, this cat's practicing dentistry out of his house. Are you out of your mind? No. Not really. The guy's got a sixth grade education. Now, get a load of this. His name is Manuel Carranza. And Manuel Carranza is a regular guy. He's just trying to, you know, make a couple of bucks. That's all he's trying to do, trying to get ahead in life. What's wrong with that? He's got a sixth grade education. And it just so happens that Manuel Carranza, with his sixth grade education, picked up some dental books, and he hit the books one fine day and learned enough to do root canals and fillings.
Man, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. He was doing root canals, he was doing fillings, and he was charging people up to $50. Sixth grade education. This is a guy, you shouldn't put him in jail. Somebody ought to send him to school and get him a real education as a dentist, because he obviously has the aptitude for it. But here's the part that I don't get. And when I say the aptitude, I would imagine that had he killed anybody or made anybody really sick, we would have heard about it by now. But here's the thing that the detectives were talking about. As I mentioned, he said, "I can't stress enough how dirty and unclean the office was. They didn't have an autoclave that sterilized dental tools." Now, how is it that a guy knows enough about dentistry that he can do root canals? He is buying lidocaine over the internet. He's buying other anesthetic over the internet. He's making dental tools, okay? This is a guy who is resourceful. I can't say that I admire somebody breaking the law, but for God's sake, like I said, if this cat had any kind of education, he knows all of this stuff, but he doesn't know enough to keep a clean office.
What do you mean, a clean office? Who cares?
I'm talking about the clean instruments, man. You're going to get somebody's going to get killed if you have any kind of bacteria or infection that sets in after you've done, and it can happen after you've done dental work. So the guy, he's got this idiot savant, man. He's got this ability to do dental work, but he's also a knucklehead. My instruments are dirty. I don't.
Well, they shut his ass down, ma'am. All that cheap root canal. Hell, I would have gone and seen it myself if I haven't had a bad toothache. That's a pretty good price.
Yeah, but the guy don't have no autoclave.
You don't even know what that is.
I know.
An autoclave is an auto. It's a thing that an autoclave is a pressure steamer. We used to use one when I was a veterinarian's assistant. Did you guys ever know that I worked for a veterinarian?
Uh-uh.
What's that?
A veterinarian's an animal doctor.
Dumbass.
Hey, man.
Okay, hey. Veterinarian's an animal doctor, okay? I used to work for an animal hospital when I was, like, just out of high school. And so, anyway, make a long story short, we had to autoclave all the instruments and stuff. It's like a steam cooker. And you just boil the hell out of that stuff, man. Boil the hell out of those instruments until they were sterile and, you know, then it was clean. It's only been up to the middle of the 19th century that we know anything about keeping things clean. Before that, we, as a race, the human race was filthy. We stunk, and we rarely bathed.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Why do you think they put all the perfume on? Because we stunk, and we rarely bathed.
That's like if you actually went in a time machine and went back in a time, you would not want to have sex with Cleopatra, because she probably smelled like dew.
Yeah, Cleopatra probably smelled like an outhouse.
Cleopatra, huh?
Yeah.
What is it with you guys? What, so you think she's the epitome of beauty, huh?
Yeah, everybody knows Cleopatra's beautiful.
Would it surprise you to know that Cleopatra was ugly?
What do you mean ugly?
She was ugly, man. Ugly! But she was a very sexy chick, so that's all you needed to know there.
What do you mean about sexy?
She was a sexy chick. She knew what made men. She knew how to rock a guy's world. You don't know about Cleopatra, huh?
Yeah, man. They said she's the most beautiful woman around.
She had a face that'd make a watch stop. But that's not really what, you know, that's not beauty anyway. You know what she did? She had herself rolled up in a carpet. Okay.
What do you mean?
You lay on a carpet, and then they roll it up. She was rolled up inside the carpet. And it was brought to the suite of rooms or whatever the hell in the palace that was being used by the Roman general Mark Antony. And he was there in Egypt, I believe, to forge or to further some level of alliance between the Roman Empire and the Egyptian queen, the house of the monarchy there. And Cleopatra knew exactly what she was doing, man. This is a very well-known story, and it actually happened. She had herself rolled up on a carpet so that when this carpet came to Mark Antony's room, and he's looking, well, this is nice, it's beautiful. You know, they probably said to him, oh, it's a beautiful tapestry that you can take back to Rome with you, whatever. And he unrolled it.
Wow, man, there's a new chick there.
Yep, there was Cleopatra, nude and ready to rock and roll.
Wow.
Yeah. And As the story goes, as history tells us, they became immediately infatuated and fascinated and in love and spent all of their time together. And he spent the rest of his time there in Egypt with her in her company, and eventually brought her back to Rome as his queen. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Mark Antony's role was in the Roman leadership, but she came back. It might have been Caesar that brought her back, but she came back with a Roman son. She had a son by Julius Caesar, or one of the two. And it was her, and she was very smart. She said, my son is going to sit on the throne of Rome, because she wanted to have the Roman blood in her son so that he would have the inheritance there. I don't think it's how that worked out.
Didn't you say, like, she probably got killed or something?
I'm going to have to freshen up on my Cleopatra history. She might have been killed or something, but that's the one part of the Cleopatra story I know about, you know.
What would you do if you come to your room and they said, here's a rug?
What would I do if I what?
You went to your room and they dropped a rug off.
If I went to my room and they dropped a rug off, where am I anyway?
Well, let's just say you're, like, at the Marriott.
If I'm at the Marriott and they drop a rug off.
Well, wherever you're staying.
Well, what am I supposed to think? If I'm at the freaking Marriott and they drop a rug off, I'd probably get that thing out of here.
What an idiot, man. It might be Cleopatra.
Get out of here, both of you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. What if they dropped a rug off? Hey, where's Don Berman? Get him. He's coming up next.
My God, Hendry, I've been sitting on hold here for a whole 6.5 hours.
Sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to have Don Berman on the line. I know that Don, Bud, if you've got Mr. Berman, and I think it's Mr. Dean, just ask them to hold on for a minute. I can hear the newsroom there, though.
Yeah, I got him on a phone. Hold on.
What is that?
That the ISDN line that goes to...
That's ISDN to Channel 19.
Yeah.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL, and that's our number. We're not taking calls this hour, but it's our news and information hour, but you know, every little bit helps. Don, do I have you?
Really, it's Don Berman here, and with Mr. Dean as well, who did want to come back on the program tonight.
Okay, yeah, I know that. I got that message. Mr. Dean, how are you, sir?
Good, right there. Yeah, hey, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and...
And I wanted to come on the program because I wanted to explain to Don and to you and to the audience, you know, what we do and how to, you know, how, you know, if you heard some things last night, I don't know if what you heard. You heard some things last night they should not have heard. I apologize for you.
Well, I don't think they heard anything.
Let me say it. Hold on for a minute. Okay, just hold on. If you heard some things, I didn't mean to disrespect Don, okay? I'm just, Don, I want to say what I want to say, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I want to come on your program, Mr. Henry, and say thank you for having me on. Last night, I know we had an espresso machine going. I apologize for that.
Well, no, it was a little noisy. People were using the espresso a lot, you know.
I didn't want people to think I was being rude. But Don knows, you know, we're in a situation here, we're trying to generate some revenue. I had a meeting last night, you know.
I understand, but you had Cassie and people coming over here using the espresso machine.
Yeah, I know, but we've already done that. See, we already talked about that. So all I want to do is sell some airtime, you know, try to get the station to make some money, you know.
Right, but you know, you said you wanted to come on here and tell Phil about how we do business here at Channel 19.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say to Phil, Don does a good job for us, you know. But I gotta move, you know, get some airtime sold, this and that, right? You know.
Right.
I gotta make a living. I got mouths to feed, right? So I'm like trying to earn here, and I can't earn. So I want to tell Don, you do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. I got to do what I do, you know.
Right.
But you got to do what you do. And,
well, what does that mean? I gotta do what I gotta do. You gotta do what you gonna do. What do you do? What do you do? I do the news. Hey, do what you do. You do what you do, I'm gonna do what I do. See? You gotta do what you do, I do what I gotta do, what I do. Don't bring Tommy up to me. You do what you do, I gotta do what I do. I didn't bring Tommy up to you.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
Well, are you saying that Don's doing a good job, though, huh?
Don's doing a good job, and everybody's doing a good job. But I gotta go out. I gotta, you know, I gotta sell some airtime, right? You know, this is all I gotta do, right?
Yeah, sure, right.
Right. So, like, you know, and anyway, I'm gonna go out, get some airtime sold, this kind of thing, and it's gonna be beautiful.
Okay. All
right. Doing a good job. Hey. Yeah, great. Please don't touch my hair like that. Hey, come on.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dean.
So Mr. Ranch says thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you.
So what was that about?
That was him, Mr. Dean.
Do you know his first name?
No, I do not. No, I do not. And I will tell you one other thing. I don't think the name Dean is real. But I will tell you that that was him saying he was sorry for the espresso machine getting fired off last night. And he was also apologizing for, you know, all the noise. And he was saying that he really likes what I do, but that he's got to go, and here he is again. What?
Hey, I'm sorry. Let me have the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry. This is Mr. Dean. I'm sorry. Hey, guys, come on, I get a cup of coffee, right? If it makes too much noise, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's making a lot of noise.
Hey, I'm sorry, huh?
I just do what I do. I do what I do. I know you're doing what you're doing. What you're doing is too loud.
Hey, I do what I do?
What?
I do what I do.
Go ahead and do what you do. God.
I don't know. I don't know if that guy's going to work out or not, huh?
You know, I mean, all I'm trying to do is wet my beak. Come on!
Just one more. Just one more. One more, that's all. Just one more, that's all. This guy's just gonna take it to a guy over here.
What?
I'm gonna take it to a guy. I'm just taking it to a guy. There we go. All right.
Take it to the guy over here. Yeah, take it to the guy over there.
Take it to that. Take it to a guy.
Yes, a guy. So anyway.
Look, I don't want to say anything, but just don't run afoul of this guy, because...
Are you kidding me? Because he has an espresso machine? So you think he's mopped up?
That was real nice.
I'm sorry, but I've been here for the last... I'm hungry. I did eat, but I want to eat more. And I didn't mean to belch. I am only going to... What is the story here, Grim?
He's done a check. Hey, hey, hey.
belch. Don't belch. I belched by mistake.
Would you get that coffee machine shut? Would you unplug it or something?
Get it out of here. Hey, 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 hey. Get it out of here. Hey. Look at my espresso machine. Get it out. Get it out. Get 5, 4, 3. Thank you.
I would say that you've got a situation there. There's no question about it. But to the extent that Mr. Dean apologized, we accept his apology.
Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to hear. And we'll continue to do the very fine reporting that we do here at Channel 19. Mr. Dean, I know, will always...
Okay, see you later, man.
No.
I had to...
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, gotta do it.
I got to do what I got to do. All right, so he almost started bawling there. That was this is weird. Okay, here's something that I think we can all relate to, and at some point in our lives, we hope and pray it doesn't happen to anyone that we know or to ourselves. A 26-year-old man was killed in a horrific accident when a beer keg exploded and blasted him with metal shrapnel.
What's that?
Metal shrapnel is just shards of material from an explosion. And this stuff just pierced him. Ben Harris is this poor kid's name. He was working at the Red Hook Ale Brewery, and this is in Great Britain. And he was cleaning out a keg when it exploded. Poor guy. Here's a picture of him. Looks like a nice guy. Ben Harris died from wounds to his head and his chest he received after pumping an empty keg full of air at about 7 a.m. on Tuesday so he could clean it. Oh, my God.
That's how you do it?
I don't know. I don't know how you clean out a keg. The keg was apparently defective. Well, I guess. And could not withstand the pressure. Can you say lawsuit?
Yeah, they bet you they don't got them kind of lawsuits over there.
Why wouldn't they have them over there?
Yeah, they might have got to have some liability.
They must have some kind of a liability law.
Do I hear an echo in here?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so you and I are thinking the same thing. Anyway, Harris, he was working at Red Hook Ale Brewery in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Oh, it's in New Hampshire. Oh, this is in New Hampshire. He's an American. You got this off the Daily Mail. Come on, will you, bud?
I don't know.
God. So this no wonder he's wearing a Pittsburgh Steeler hat. He was working at the Red Hook Ale Brewery in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He was rushed to the hospital, but he died shortly after arriving. He was pumping air into the keg to release any residual beer inside. Oh, the poor kid. Something failed where it basically blew apart under the pressure and with such force that parts of the keg pushed into his chest, and into his head. Portsmouth Assistant Fire Chief Stephen Achilles told WBZ Television. Firefighters found Mr. Harris unresponsive and with a weak pulse. The company, which has breweries in Portsmouth and I believe this is Woodinville, Washington, closed its pub in New Hampshire and issued a statement on its Facebook page expressing sympathy to the Harris family. You cats are going to, you better get ready, man, because it's going to come fast and furious. We're doing everything in our power to understand the circumstances surrounding this tragic accident. We've closed down all non-essential operations at the Portsmouth Brewery, including the pub, while the investigation continues. Red Hook was one of the first major craft breweries in the country, founded in 1981. What they used to call microbreweries. Now they call it a major craft brewery. It produces about 360,000 barrels of beer every year and is publicly traded on NASDAQ. There you have it.
You think I'm going to sue?
I think there's a lawsuit, yeah. There's no question there's a lawsuit. There's no question there's a lawsuit. I don't know who you sue. And I have to be honest with you, these days,
Yeah, that you said we was too, how you said that.
Yeah, what's that word?
Litigious? God, you guys, man.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
We are a litigious society, there's no question about it, but I have to tell you, if this is death, man, this is death, you dig? This is death. This is high, I'm working in a building... And I'm doing what they told me to do the job that I'm doing for this company, and the thing that they told me to do just killed me. So, gee, this is not, think I'm going to sue you because, I don't know, I'm going to sue you because the tires you sold me should have lasted longer than they did, even though I was driving them over, you know, red hot asphalt 50 times. You know, in other words, it's not one of these. There's no black. This is very, very black and white. There's no gray areas on this one. There's a lot of frivolous lawsuits. There's no question, but. I don't see how this is frivolous. If that was my son or a blood relative of mine, no way, man. No way.
What wouldn't you sue?
What wouldn't I sue? What are you talking about? What wouldn't I sue? I've never sued. Let's be clear about something, bud, if you think I'm Mr. Litigious. I've never sued anybody in my life. I've been sued. I've never sued a soul. That doesn't mean that I won't. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not reaching my threshold for bullcrap.
But what's that mean, man? You gonna sue somebody?
No, I'm not suing anybody. I'm just saying I've never sued anybody. So if you think that I'm one of these guys that I'm looking around the corner for a lawsuit, I'm looking for my opportunity to sue. No, I'm not. I wouldn't know what to look for, okay? I'm not one of those guys. I'm a guy that I've been sued, but I don't sue. But you're asking me about this? Hell yeah, I'd sue. This is cut and dried. Cut and dried. All right.
Just like asparagus.
Just like asparagus. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our final segment on the show tonight and philhendryshow.com.
Truth.
Watch for
is
our show log, too.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Right after the show.
We have heard about people who have been the victims of, of horrifying accidents. We've heard of people who might have had some level of aptitude or a kind of an aptitude for things, but got, you know, they got arrested because they didn't get their license. In other words, we've heard stories where there are extenuating circumstances and perhaps unfortunate circumstances. But here's one where it's completely on this lady, man. She died trying to live on sunlight.
Hey!
Thank you.
There you go. Excuse me. That's pretty good.
Absolutely. If she could have done it, it's pretty good.
Well, you saying that lady deserved to die?
Well, what do you think, man?
Yeah, trying to live on sunlight.
Yeah, but man, at least she gave it a shot.
Gave what a shot?
At least she tried to live on sunlight. To see if we don't need to have no food.
Well, what are you going to tell me now, man? She sacrificed herself for the great dream of living on sunlight? Are you high? You know what? I'm going to start drug testing around here.
No, please don't.
Yeah,
I ain't taking no drug, man. I'm just saying.
You ain't saying anything. She's an idiot. What do you mean? I feel bad for her? Get out of here. What? People, you know, the human race. The ego that we have just never ceases to amaze me. First of all, as a creature that crawls around on the earth like every other creature, oh well, we just think we're something special. Maybe we are something special because we suddenly woke up one day and we realized that we were something. Then we started wearing clothes,
jock straps. That's probably when we started wearing jock straps. That's when we thought we were really all that.
Why? What difference does that make?
Think about it. Just think about it.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, me too. What's...
Are you kidding? You can figure a guy's going to wear clothes, but a jock strap?
So the jock strap is when we took another great leap forward as a species? Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Why?
Because if you have regular clothes and you have like a bear skin or whatever, okay, fine, you're all covered up. Then one day a guy goes, you know what? This isn't good enough. I think I'm going to put a hammock down there for it.
You trying to tell me because you dropped it into a hammock, all of a sudden, we like evolved?
I think there was a point of evolution, yeah.
All of a sudden, we dropped it into a hammock, and that was a point. Man.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Oh, get out of here. What am I laughing at? I'm laughing at you, man. At you. And this woman I'm laughing at, too. I'm sorry. She died. But would you come on? The human species kills me, man. live on sunlight. Where the hell, how far do you, see this generation, and it started really with my generation, the whole dawning of the age of Aquarius. All of a sudden, we imagined that we'd taken some, well, just like you guys were saying, some evolutionary leap forward. It's almost like in Waterworld where that cat had gills. You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
That movie was pretty good.
Well, it might be pretty good, man, but we just ain't there yet, okay? Talking about all this stuff, it's like I always like to say, there may come a time when the human race achieves peace on Earth, but this ain't the generation's going to do it. I hate to break the news. As groovy as we think we are, man, live on sunlight. The woman gave up food and water on her spiritual journey. Yeah, I'll bet it was a spiritual journey. Get a load of this. Documentary film, In the Beginning There Was Light, gave her the idea. Where are my glasses? The prosecutor's office in the Swiss state of Aragu confirmed Wednesday that the woman died in the town of Woldenham or something in eastern Switzerland. Where are my glasses, man?
Here.
Prosecutor's office. I hope they prosecute somebody's ass. Swiss newspaper Tops Anzeiger reports that a woman starved to death after embarking on a spiritual diet that required her to stop eating or drinking and live off sunlight alone. Right.
Yeah, you would tell me, though, about a guy you heard about.
What guy did I hear about?
That one guy you read, that what was the guy's name?
Paramahansa Yogananda. He didn't live on sunlight.
What?
This cat wrote a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, okay?
What's the guy's name again?
Paramahansa Yogananda.
What? That sounds like a cheese.
Yeah, it sounds like one of them cheeses you get.
Does it sound like a cheese? Great. I tell you what you guys ought to do is start a cheese called Paramahansa Yogananda. You know?
I will. And it'll smell bad, too, like a guy's feet in India.
Great. You'll have a cheese that smells like a guy's feet in India. Will you shut up and let me finish? Anyway, he writes in that book, Autobiography of a Yogi, this cat wrote about all kinds of guys in India that did all kinds of things. Some cat... And who knows, man? But he wrote about one guy that he called a breatharian. Not a vegetarian. Not a fruititarian.
Not a gayitarian.
Not a gayitarian. You shut up. This was a breatharian.
What did he live on?
Breathing. Breath. Air. And the dude, this yogi that was the breatharian, living on air, this cat would do meditations where he would bury his head in dirt. So he would stand on his head... And then they'd fill in a hole around his head where he was standing on his head. So he'd have his head buried. So he'd be standing on his head. And his head is buried. And he's like that for like an hour.
Get out of here.
Well, I don't know whether it's true or not either. But that was in this book. So there's what I'm trying to say to you is there have been stories and there have been people who have claimed this and that and this and that, this and that. That you can live on, you know, the grooviness of the molecules and the atoms and all that stuff. But I've never heard of anybody actually doing it. The only thing I have is this anecdotal stuff from that book. And this woman, she ain't around no more, man. The prosecutor's office in the Swiss state of Aargau confirmed that she died in January 2011. Wow. There have been similar cases of self-starvation in Germany, Britain, and Australia. The Zurich newspaper reported Wednesday that the unnamed Swiss woman in her 50s decided to follow the radical fast in 2010 after viewing an Austrian documentary about an Indian guru, aha, who claims to have lived this way for 70 years. He was a guru, baby. You're a housewife. Big difference! World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. For our live video casts each and every night, I think you'll dig it. It's all so ever fascinating and bitch. Until then, have yourselves a swell day and let that all be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.